Australian authorities and communities are urgently trying to bring a major diphtheria outbreak under control across several states. The Northern Territory government is investigating at least one death, and there are concerted efforts to lift vaccination and booster rates, with the federal government committing an extra $7 million in funding. Meanwhile, there are significant concerns that poor quality housing and overcrowding are also contributing to the spread of diphtheria in remote communities. Simon Quilty was a doctor in the NT for more than 20 years, transforming health systems and focusing on how heat and housing design affect human health. Simon is the co-founder of the Indigenous-led housing initiative called Wilya Janta and has been involved in the creation of new pilot homes in Tennant Creek with the hope of revolutionising the current state of play. And I'm delighted to say that Simon is my guest this morning on Changing Australia. Simon, welcome.
Good morning, Sally.
Sometimes it's when you're in the middle of life, it's hard to figure out where things are going. But it's really interesting to see that you originally did an engineering degree at university but went back to do medicine. What were you thinking at the time about the combination of these skills?
Oh, look, I was a young man. I wasn't really thinking strategically in any way. I did engineering to make my car go quicker. And I spent a bit of time as a kid in remote Australia and realised as a young adult that that's really where I wanted to be and understand. And so I had the opportunity to study medicine. And from about 2004, I've mostly been in remote parts of the Northern Territory working as a doctor.
There are many places you could work around Australia and internationally. What is it about remote communities in the NT that really you felt this strong pull to work in those areas?
I guess that came from very early childhood experiences and just seeing how extraordinary culture is out in those remote parts of Australia, and it's still alive and thriving, and understanding the complexities of the bedrock of the human history of this nation was just enthralling to me, and it remains so.
How are you navigating some of the cultural aspects of medicine in these communities, Simon? As a non-Indigenous doctor, how important is trust and communication and cultural understanding to be able to treat patients effectively?
Yeah, so you firstly have to understand for traditional Aboriginal people living in remote parts of Australia that they have an understanding of the world and the universe that is tens of thousands of years old, and they have no intention of dropping this very firm set of beliefs and understandings of the world in which they exist. And it's not to say that Western medicine can't enter that lexicon of how they see health and well-being, but fundamentally they have beliefs that are thousands of years old, and the first and foremost thing to do when you're treating Aboriginal people in that context is understand what they believe is disease process and what they think treatment is. And then you can start negotiating how you think Western medicine might complement their ideas.
What sort of beliefs and practices were you encountering, or people's understanding of disease?
Well, so I was the medical advisor for Purple House for about 4 years, mm-hmm. and I realised...
Which is a dialysis centre? Is that the best way to describe?
Yeah, remote dialysis service provider. And what I realised is that essentially every single patient on dialysis had a firm belief that their renal disease was caused by a curse, and the curse could come from not looking after a particular type of country or some kind of personal interaction with somebody else. And it was easy to explain my understanding of what caused their diabetes, and there was synergy, and these really remote living people were totally happy to have two understandings of disease process and engage with both of them. But I found it really important to acknowledge the truth of their understanding and accept it and really listen to it and learn from why they thought they had their illness. Otherwise, there's a complete mismatch between what you're offering them and what they think is wrong.
Mm. You ended up moving from Katherine to Alice Springs, and you'd previously met a man called Norman at his home in Tennant Creek. Tell me about Norman and what's really stayed with you from that interaction.
Yeah, so Norm and Frank Jabula and I became friends back in 2006 when I was the doctor out at Utopia, and I turned up to town and I was given the doctor's house, architecturally designed, three bedrooms, air conditioned throughout, big wraparound verandas. And Norm was my neighbour, and he's living in a tin shed, a really small tin shed with no insulation and no proper power or water, and he was raising his six kids there. And, you know, I grew up in Sydney. I went to Sydney University, and I had never seen such appalling conditions. He was an employee. He was the ambulance driver and the mechanic there for the clinic. He was on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and he worked really hard. And just the complete inequity in housing standards was appalling to me. And our friendship grew. And what I didn't realise about Norm at that time is that he is and was then a very important cultural man. He's a genius. He's got a photographic memory, and he has the most extraordinary knowledge of culture and ecology and an indigenous history understanding of this continent that is really quite profound. So Norm can explain how thylacines hunted, and thylacines disappeared from Central Australia probably 6,000 or 7,000 years ago. And so Norm's taken me under his wing, and he's definitely over the last 20 years been my cultural mentor. He's taught me an awful lot about culture. His cultural generosity has been extraordinary, and we developed a really unique and very beautiful trusting friendship. Mm.
You, Norm, and other community members founded this organisation, Wilya Junta, and looking at building some new kinds of homes. Tell me about the work that the organisation does.
Yeah, so Wilya Junta means we all stand strong together. And it was Norm's idea. So I started doing a PhD on heat, health and housing back in 2021. I could see the catastrophe of longer and hotter summers and how it was tearing the social fabric of towns like Katherine and Tennant Creek to pieces. And it really felt like there was no action happening. And what was going on is that there was this rolling housing crisis, and the new houses that the Northern Territory government are building right up to this very day, absolutely shocking. They look more like a toilet block. They have terrible thermal performance, and they pay no regard to culture whatsoever. And so Norm and I, Norm really contributed very much to the interpretation of the data that I was putting together through my PhD. And at the end of one of my projects, which was putting solar panels on his roof, his house is the first and only Aboriginal public house to have solar panels on it. And it completely alleviated his energy poverty. And for your listeners, Aboriginal people pre-purchase credit on their power meter, and when the credit runs out, they disconnect from power. Norm doesn't disconnect from power anymore because of an $8,000 investment in rooftop solar, thanks to the team at Original Power. And so Norm said to me, oh, the problem isn't just the electricity, it's the house. It doesn't work for my culture. It doesn't work for avoidance relationships. It doesn't work for kinship. It doesn't work for lots of family visiting all of the time. And he said to me, Simon, would you help me build a Warramungu house a totally new way? And I said, bloody oath I will, Norm. I think that sounds like a terrific idea. But I'd never raised funds or anything, but I was pretty well connected. And so over 3 or 4 years, we've worked with the architects at office.org.au and Tropo and Professor Paul Memmott. CSIRO's come along. We've had some really fantastic construction partners with SHAPE and the Reese Foundation and a bunch of really amazing philanthropists who got behind and agreed with all of us that the way that houses are being constructed in the Northern Territory at the moment is appalling. There's a $4 billion commitment from Territory and Federal Government to expand the number of houses in remote communities, and the houses that they're building at the moment would be illegal to build in any other state or territory of Australia because of their shocking thermal performance as a start. They pay no credence to culture. And so what we did is we got together and we've built the first Explain home, and it is probably one of the most energy efficient homes ever built in the Northern Territory.
It costs about... What's it look like, Simon?
Yeah, look, it's interesting. So I had to house sit for Norm. He was in hospital. I had to house sit in his house for 3 weeks, and it was a little bit uncomfortable for me. It didn't quite It's definitely not a Western house. It's beautifully designed, so it's got big wraparound verandas, so lots of outdoor space, which is what Aboriginal people want. And you compare that to the current NT government design, and there's almost no outdoor living space. It has two kitchens and two bathrooms, and of course, when you've got 20... 25 people living in a house, you need that extra space, especially when you start talking about kinship and avoidance relationships.
What,
and
these, what's an avoidance relationship?
Avoidance relationships are 50 to 60,000 years old for a start, and people do not want to break it. But for instance, a man is not allowed in the same room as his mother-in-law, his son-in-law or his daughter-in-law, full stop. They're not allowed to make eye contact, and they shouldn't be in the same space. And this is a really new phenomenon. So Norm grew up in the bush. He grew up in semi-traditional structures where there was lots of space around. And all of a sudden in the 1970s, these people were forced into nuclear-style family houses that did not pay any respect to that avoidance relationship. And so the house has actually been beautifully designed to facilitate space that allows those avoidance relationships to be honoured. It has mud brick walls that are made from termite mounds from Norm's ancestral country. So he understands that the ancestors of his country are actually imbued in the walls of his house, and that was CSIRO's idea to put thermal mass inside. It has a sacred objects room. It's the first house ever to pay honour to the importance of Aboriginal people to protect their sacred objects from the wrong family groups who are visiting. One of the other things that I discovered with Norm after 15 years of friendship is that Warramunga people sleep east to west. They always have. And so the bedrooms are all oriented appropriately. And I mean, what kind of conversation do you have to identify that your friend sleeps east to west? It's not something that you generally tend to ask people. But once we'd realised this, it's like, well, that's a really easy design solution. And so the whole house is actually a living cultural entity that enables Norm and his family to hold on to culture through the walls of the building that they live in.
It's amazing. I think I've said on air before, I remember being in Mali in West Africa years ago, Simon, and went into the chief's house, and the ceiling was really low. You had to bend down to get in there. And afterwards I said to someone, why, this is the chief, like, why is the ceiling so slow? And they said, oh, so you can't get angry because you can't stand up at full height. And it said in your chief's house, is the ceiling high or small? And I was thinking of here, Parliament House, and I said, it's very high. And he said, do people fight there? And I said, they argue all the time. So there you go, design and culture crossing over.
Yeah, and there was all these delightful, absolutely delightful kind of discoveries. So Norm had his fire pit. Fire is really important culturally. Wairakun, it's a really important thing for cooking, but also for spiritual cleansing. And he put his fire at the eastern end of the house where the predominant wind blows. And I was like, Norm, you're going to get smoke through your house all the time. And he said, yeah, isn't it great? I'll burn yakula and it'll clean my house from the spirits all the time. And so his house smells, yakula smells a little bit like frankincense, and his house smells divine all of the time. And so this house costs the same, roughly the same as what the NT government's currently building. It's off-grid solar. It collects rainwater that you can drink, so you're drinking fresh rainwater rather than horrible bore water. These are all simple design solutions that we have proven are immediately available to Northern Territory government so that they can change their design to accommodate culture and climate in the way they build houses.
Simon, it's been fascinating to speak with you this morning. Thank you for being generous, telling us about some of the work there and taking the listeners into the world of the areas where you've been working. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. And the housewarming party is on the 9th of July for anyone that's in Tennant Creek. You're all welcome. The whole of Australia.
Norman's house. Simon, thank you very much.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Dr. Simon Quilty, a medical doctor, also studied some engineering at uni back in the early days, spent more than 20 years working in the Northern Territory, and is a co-founder of Wilya Janta.